Back in the boat of knowledge that is Behind the Beard, WNC, a podcast where a bunch of guys get together and bloviate about any topic we want, but often that rudder steers toward high school football, and we're getting into some high school football, which is exciting, but we do this mostly for our entertainment. We hope you're entertained too, but if you're not, then obviously there's tons of other podcasts to listen to.
Pat, have you ever seen the meme where it's like the squirrel, he's got his hands up? It's like football's back, baby.
Right? Amen.
I feel like that after this past scrimmage week.
Yes, and we actually had, a little NFL action with the Hall of Fame game. I watched a little bit of that and a little bit of preseason Thursday night. So I'm excited.
Absolutely. Pat, do you think the NFL's scripted?
I don't think it's scripted. Do you think it's scripted?
I definitely think it's scripted.
You do?
There's been too many, like, remember Katrina?
Yeah.
The Saints won, right? 9/11, Patriots won Super Bowl, like... There's too many of those coincidences going on.
I don't know. I think there's way too many variables to control.
I don't know. I don't know.
And you are a conspiracy theorist.
Indeed.
Well, we are marching along here with our coaches series, but before we get into that and introduce our guest, Lewis, what did you do since we last talked? Anything exciting?
Mostly just been on the football field.
Yeah? Have you?
Going to practices. We had a community night up there on Wednesday, which was really cool.
Yeah.
They cooked for everybody, and they had an open practice. And that was fun. And then we had a scrimmage last night against McDowell, which was pretty successful, I feel like.
So. Yeah. This is a big year for Steven, right?
Junior year.
Yeah.
Hopefully breakout season. We'll see what happens.
Indeed. Wow.
So.
Well, we have the pleasure of having the head football coach of North Buncombe, David Hines, join us today. Coach, I'm going to just kind of introduce you here a little bit, and then we'll kick it over to you here in just a second. But according to artificial intelligence, which I've been finding a great tool as of late, head coach David Hines, he's the head football coach and the athletic director at North Buncombe High School in Weaverville, North Carolina, entering his fourth season in 2025. He took over the Blackhawks program in January of 2022, and that was following a challenging period for the team, which had gone winless in the prior season. Hines had focused on rebuilding the team's culture, emphasizing player buy-in and leadership development, particularly among the younger players. And his efforts have certainly shown progress as the team snapped an 18-game losing streak in 2023 by winning their first three games and finished with a 2-0 start in another season after back-to-back winless years. I remember that season, the 3-0. We talked about that a little bit.
They were burning the town down, right?
Indeed. Carson is saying that. Yeah, that's good stuff. Hines has a 24-year coaching and teaching career in North Carolina with a background that includes head coaching roles at Southside High School from 2007 to 2009, Eastern Guilford in 2012, and East Davidson in 2017, as well as assistant coaching positions at Cherokee and Southeastern Guilford. Before North Buncombe, he served as offensive coordinator at Southern Almanence, where his wing T offense produced over 3,600 rushing yards in a season. He's a graduate of North Carolina at Wilmington with a degree in physical education. Hines also holds certifications in health education and 9 through 12 social studies at North Buncombe. He teaches weight training and manages athletic planning. His 2025 roster, though young, with only 5 seniors, includes key players like junior running back Kingston Denson, who led the Mountain Athletic Conference in rushing yards in 2024. And senior Ryan Moffitt, a top receiver and tackler. Hines aims to end the team's 22-game conference losing streak with a focus on competing weekly and building momentum through a manageable non-conference schedule. Did Grock get it pretty right there, Coach?
Man, it's scary what you can just go pull up on the internet these days.
Seriously, like I told you before, I literally typed in to Grock, tell me about head football coach David Hines from North Buncombe High School, and it spit that out. So I'm pretty impressed.
That pretty much gets it right down to a T. You know, been around for a long time in education and athletics, and, you know, seen a lot of kids and players come through, and, you know, just excited to continue that on. You know, it's very rewarding to see these guys go on and do great things when they leave you, but year 25 is crazy to think about. You know, a lot of people are just getting started, and, you know, you can kind of see that light at the end of the tunnel when you hit year 25, but, you know, still going strong, got a good staff, got a good team, and I'm excited to get rolling.
Yeah, well, I mean, you obviously the Blackhawks did spring ball, and y'all are into summer now. Last season was obviously tough for everybody with the storm and stuff. We've been touching base with everybody a little bit on that, obviously. When all that shook out for the Blackhawks, how did that kind of affect your groove and your team last year on the other side of Helene?
Well, the before Helene, we got off to it. We were 2-2 on varsity, and we were 2-2 on JV. You know, we won our first couple JV games in a long time, and so I felt like that young group was together, building together. We had a great freshman group come in to add on to this, this year's rising junior crop that was a sophomore last year. And, I was one of the ones that I really hated to see, that momentum stopped. But, our kids got out. They were resilient. They did what they needed to do during the hurricane those 4 weeks. And when we got turned loose, we lost a few during that because – they had to move away for a little while. They came back, but, just when your house is gone or when your business is gone, you got to go find where you got to be.
Yeah.
We supported them in whatever way we could. Our kids got out in the community, did things, and that's what, you want to see in your young men that you're working with. And I know Irwin was doing the same thing. Reynolds was doing the same thing. Owen, we all went out and we're trying to do the best we could during those 4 weeks. And then especially the rest of the season afterwards, but we got really young, really fast afterwards. We weren't very old anyway. We had 8 seniors or 9 seniors last year. So it was, those COVID classes really did knock down a lot of the numbers. And when you're looking at no youth football during those few years, middle school football, missing out, you lose little kids. So last year after Helene, we were very young.
Sure.
Quarterback moved to live with his mom in the middle of the hurricanes, and I don't blame him. I mean, he had to go help her with her situation. And so when we come back from the hurricane, my first game against Asheville, we roll out a true freshman.
Yeah, that's
played nothing but JV all season.
Yeah.
And his first action is against one of the top teams in the conference. So, it was tough. But after that, he settled in. We settled in. We played 2 good games against Irwin and Inca. Irwin was a juggernaut last year, obviously. I mean, they're up front last year and was as good as we've seen, on the OL and DL. And, we held our own for a little while and then they pulled away. I mean, they were a good ball club. Obviously they went on and won some ball games as the season went and the playoffs. And, us and Inca seem every year since I've got here, it comes down to one possession somewhere or another. They get a score or they get a stop. And, we've played 3 games since I got here and it was a 13-10. A 27-20 and I don't even remember last year. It was 13-7. I mean, it's a one score game every year with them right now. And I look at them as they're very much like us. They've been young, we've been young, and we're growing up together. And we just keep battling each other to the end. But that has helped this offseason with what happened with that because so many of our young guys got to play and those guys now worked so hard in the spring and this summer that, it was good to see them culminate last night with that scrimmage. I thought that was – you always like to see somebody with another color on their jersey after a few weeks, and that helped us. And, we got a lot of good work last night and saw a lot of good things, saw a lot of things we got to work on. But Helene changed not only the landscape of the mountains – but the landscape of teams in the area, the landscape of how people work with their kids now. I mean, we always talk about how when something happens, you want to hold your kids a little tighter, your own personal kids. Well, now we do the same with these kids, You got to worry about, their mental health. You got to worry about their, how things at the house. You got to worry about, are you getting your schoolwork done? Oh, you got to work today. What time do you got to work? Hope you get home early enough. And we've always worried about those kids, but, it's that, like I said, it's that old saying, you want to hold them a little tighter and a little closer, a little longer. So it's changed a lot. And, I love it. I wouldn't change anything. you know, because we grow stronger from what happens. So, I mean, I think you're going to see the Mountains bounce back stronger than ever. And
well, one thing we talked about with other coaches, you know, the weeks after the hurricane and that first game back and all that, like you felt the teams like get tighter together.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's rolling out in a lot of these locker rooms this year where like these teams have a connection with each other, you know, like these might be some of the biggest brotherhoods that's come from the Mountains in a long time. Well, from all the stuff they've been through.
That's exactly right. You know, now they have something that they can latch on to each other with and go, we got through this.
Yeah.
And, you know, where, you know, rivalries are rivalries, but it's one of those things, like the first time going out last night and the ball snapped and the whistle blows and, you know, you see the smiles on faces, you know, a little pushing and shoving, you know, and then you got to bring people back down because everybody was just so amped up. And, you know, you're going to see that everywhere early in this season because people have been waiting to get back on the field after the sour taste of everything during that period last year. And I think you're right. I think it's just there is a closer bond in each individual locker room, and here especially since I've been here.
Yeah, and also a bit of a blank slate, too, on your point about that sour taste from last year.
That's,
I mean,
exactly,
a chance,
right,
for them to, all right, let's go. We made it through that mess. We can take on anything.
That's
right?
That's exactly, you know, right. And I think you're going to see that from a lot of teams this year is, look, you know, last year just kind of you check it in the back, you file it, and you move on. And blank slate's a great way to look at it.
Yeah.
So, what about your coaching staff around you? Any changes coming from this? You got the same guys?
I've got the same guys. I've added a few. You know, we've got the same group we've had since I got here, you know, minus the ones that have retired, obviously, early on. But, you know, we picked up Parker Schweringen. You know, he came from Mitchell, and he's going to be working here in the school. And, you know, he's going to be working with my linemen. He's done a great job. You know, we picked up Jermaine Weaver. You know, he used to play here back in the 90s. And with the group of my Hightower, McKinney's, Lasters, Mershots that were on that team in the mid-90s that was so good. So it's good to have a lot of homegrown coaches on the staff because I think it helps the kids feel the – you know, sense of pride that those guys have for what they did here. When my running backs can look at Jeremy Laster and he's telling them what to do, and then they walk up front and they see him in the trophy case, you know, as the all-time leading rusher here. And
it changes things a little bit.
It changes things a little, yeah, bit. And, you know, and then with Andy Runyon and Shane Hawkins and those guys who have been here with me, it's been a really, really good summer of work with that staff. You know, we're all kind of coming together. The last few years we've been learning each other as much as we've been learning and building the program. And this summer, with those additions and with the mainstays, it has been as good a summer as I've had since I've gotten here. You know, our numbers were up. Our kids felt like they were getting good work. Our coaches were active with them. And, you know, a lot of my coaches aren't in the building. So, summertime, they've got their own kids to run around and chase. And they found time to be here the majority of the summer. And when that happens, the kids see that too.
Oh, for sure.
And I'm just excited to be around such a group. This will be the biggest staff I've had since I got here. You know, when I got here, it was, I think there were 8 or 9 of us. Then it dropped down to 7, you know, just from retirement and just not being able to, you know, nobody comes to North Buncombe to,
sure,
leave after 1 year. So,
sure,
if, you know, we just happen to have a few people retire over the last couple of years that we've been able to add some coaches in. And, but I mean, I'm going to be at 11 or 12 this year, and that makes a difference to our kids. They're all getting work. They're all not just standing around in little groups. And we're able to get a lot more work in as we go through. So I am so happy with the staff.
Well, that's a perfect segue then. Obviously, you had spring ball, and then you had the scrimmage last night with Heritage, you said. So you've had a chance now to see your guys and what your hand looks like a little bit going into this year. What were your takeaways from spring ball and that scrimmage and your strengths, maybe areas of development? What does this look like?
Well, I mean, we're going to be able to run the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we could do that last year. But we're also going to be able to do a little bit more in the air this year. I'll be honest with you, the passing game last night probably surprised me a little more than the run game. I came in knowing we were going to be able to run the ball. I've got the leading rusher in the conference coming back, and we know that. And, you know, he was ridiculously good last night again. But we kept our quarterbacks clean no matter which one was in there. And I don't have any old quarterbacks. I got a rising sophomore who's going to be taking the varsity snaps, and my son's a rising freshman going to be taking the JV snaps. And they both went out there last night, and neither of them got touched on any of the passes. So when that happens, you always worry about that in a scrimmage. You know, can you pass block? Because most teams can run block. If you can pass block, that gives you a chance. And I was pleased with that. We've got to get better, but, you know, it wasn't clean, but it was serviceable in a scrimmage. And if it's serviceable in a scrimmage, those things manifest themselves better as the year goes along. But, you know, we're pretty strong up front. We've got to get, you know, pad levels got to get better. I go nitpicky on everything. You know, we went up against Heritage and their dude. I mean, when you look, every team's got that dude. He's good. And I think they scored twice during our team session and we scored once. Well, he scored both of theirs and our dude scored ours. I mean, it was good. To be able to go out and be in a slugfest with a team like Mountain Heritage, who has a tradition of every year they're going to, you know, since Joey got there, now to Jared. Jared's been there with him forever.
It's the same system.
It's the same thing. Yeah. And Jared's done a great job with them this summer. And, you know, he's like, okay, I'm going to put in my seconds. Well, their seconds, and, you know, he was worried, their seconds look just as clean as their first group. I mean, you can tell they've been doing it since they were five. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, made me feel good that we could go out on the field with a team like a Heritage and go punch for punch with them for the majority of the night. But spring ball, you know, we had some guys out there who haven't played, and we've got, like, two of my seniors never played football. One of them's been a soccer player here since he got here, and one of them's wanted to play. It just hadn't worked out. So three of my eight initial freshmen are still playing, and two new ones that are now seniors. So those are my five seniors, and the growth in the three has been over that four-year period has not just been on the field. It's been in the weight room. It's been in leadership. It's been in – they're a part of this culture change that we tried to bring about. Watching them lead through the spring and get kids there, you know, we only had like two guys that missed any days in the spring who were returners. And for us, that was a pretty big number. And it was good. It showed us that they were serious about doing what we wanted them to do. And then we averaged around 50 a night in the summer. And that's about 20 more than we've averaged any other year. So you're starting to see that pick up. You know, I know I've talked to Bearcloth. I've talked to, you know, some of the other coaches around the area, just seeing what their numbers are like in the summer. I talked to, you know, Clark down at McDowell. I've talked to some other guys, Rodney over at Irwin, just to see. And our numbers were comparable with those guys, which
I think numbers are increasing around.
That's what it seems like.
That's good.
Yes.
It depends on how deep you guys want to get. But, like, if you think about it, when you're talking about, like, the pendulum of politics and everything, when it starts going to one side or the other, you start noticing football numbers start increasing, too.
Well, that's good.
I mean, if you think about it.
Yeah. Well, cool.
You know, it's just interesting that the numbers, since I've gotten here, you know, we had a small – my first year – they've seemingly increased each year since. And, you know, we're going to be at about 20 to 23 freshmen, 20 to 25 sophomores, around 20 juniors. And, you know, then the five or, you know, you always may pick up somebody, usually not an older kid. Like, I'll go into the first week and I'll take any freshman that wants to come.
Yeah, they got 4 years to work.
That's exactly right. I'll take any freshman. And if it's somebody that's moved in or somebody, then we'll do that too. But most of the older kids who want to be out there are there.
Sure.
You know, but since my first year here, we had 38. You know, I had an 18-man JV team. And to now where I think last night, you know, we only did varsity, but I dressed some of the JVs. But between everybody this week, we've seen about 64. So to go from 38 to 64, you can see the growth happening. And that, to me, like you talk about going into Heritage last night, you want to be able to lock horns with somebody like a Heritage to help get yourself ready for the season. I mean, heck, I'm going to see a Brevard. I'm going to see, obviously, Reynolds and Asheville and TC and Irwin. I mean, when you walk out and you see those teams, yes, it's nice to go out and scrimmage somebody that you know you can handle, but I really felt like last night we walked out of there with – an increased vision of what this possibly could be for this program.
Yeah, you're starting to see the stuff click.
That's exactly right.
Right. And, I mean, we felt the same way last night over there.
Yeah.
And, like, you can see your system just kicking in. You're getting the yards. Like, the plays you call, you know you're going to get X amount of yards, and you're hitting that.
That's exactly right. That was last night. And, you know, we figured out pretty quickly what we could and couldn't do last night. And doesn't mean that that'll be every week, obviously. People game plan to stop what you're good at. So, you know, I went in with like 5 run plays and, you know, 8 or 10 pass plays last night. I wasn't trying to be, you know.
Let's be honest. No one shows all their cards at a scrimmage.
No.
Right?
No, yeah. And that's the thing. It's one of those deals where I wanted to make sure we could do our basic stuff.
Yep.
And in scrimmage one, that's what we'll do. So now Monday, we'll go out and we'll work on what didn't work. And, you know, we will talk about what did and fine-tune that some more. But there's just a lot of stuff that we saw and that we really, really, really liked that you have seen the progression from year one to now out of just the program, not just the kids in general. Coaches, you know, myself included, how we have evolved over the last 4 summers, and I'm excited about what's coming with this.
You obviously, we were talking about the kids a little while ago. You were seniors and stuff, and obviously they've been doing leadership for you. You spoke about that, and they're doing really well, which you'd want out of your seniors, obviously, to do that. You mentioned though you've got that sophomore quarterback that's going to be obviously running the offense again. How is he doing well, stepping kind of into that leadership role too as a sophomore? What is that?
Yeah,
that looking like
he's your typical young guy. He's very quiet. He doesn't want to mess up, and you know you've got to allow him to mess up.
Yeah, there's a fine line.
That's exactly right. You know, and I tell him, I'm like, look, if you mess up going full speed. Like, we ran a play last night, and it was a play where he could read it, and he could keep it or give it. And at the last second, he wanted to pull it and keep it because he saw, oh, I can probably score here. But it was just a little bit of a slow reaction. And that's going to come. And he kind of got down for a second. And I looked at him and I said, you know what you did? He goes, yeah, I should have kept that. And I said, that's okay. That's what this night is for, to learn that, you know. And, you know, my son jumps in there against their ones, and his first pass throws an interception. I looked right at him. I said, welcome to high school football, buddy.
Yeah, buddy.
You know, and those are the kind of things you want young quarterbacks, especially quarterbacks, to learn. It's okay to make a mistake,
yeah,
as you're learning.
Yeah.
But what I've seen from Kiever is he looked like a deer in the headlight last year against Asheville. And he'll tell you that. He goes, Coach, I don't even remember much about that night. I'm like, I guarantee that, you know. But then the next two Friday nights, you saw the potential. And when you've got a guy like Moffitt that you can trust to get it to when you need something, that helps a young quarterback.
Sure.
You know, you can look around at any team that quarterback's got the one guy that when things get, I got to have something, I know that he's going to give me a 50-50 shot at getting it if I get it near him. And the other piece is I see a young guy who trusts everybody to throw the ball to, even though he has an all-conference guy that's returned. And to me, that shows more growth than anything. You know, my oldest son is a quarterback playing at, you know, Point University down in Georgia now as a grad student. And I watched him in high school where it took him a year or two to become comfortable to look across the field and to throw to everybody. And Kiever's doing the same thing. And it's something that when you see that growth, and I think anybody in our conference and in our area, in the state, whatever, when you ask them about quarterback play, go over to Irwin. You know, when Caden got thrown out there as a freshman, it wasn't always easy for him. But then as a sophomore, obviously, a little different.
Oh, yeah.
He became more confident in what he was doing. And that we want to see that same kind of growth out of ours. And just to have that confidence to stand up and throw it and have the conviction to know I read what I read, I saw what I saw, and to throw it, where he's not doing it with words, he's doing it with actions right now. And, you know, young kids don't like to talk and be loud. And that's something that we're talking with him about and working with him on. He is very confident in what he can do now, and we're going to keep working with him just to try to pull some of that out of him to where he's not afraid to look at one of those juniors or seniors and go, that's not what I said to do. Do it this way. And that's his next step. His first step, he's passed. He has no fear to throw it anywhere this year. And last year he did. He held on it a little too long sometimes, took some hits he didn't need to take, but he was a freshman. Now, we're going to say the same thing this year, and then we have to sit there and remember he's a sophomore. You know, so he's going to make a bad pass, but how does he bounce back from that bad pass? He's going to make a great pass. Is he going to get happy and want to throw that every time? You know, those are the things on the field, but off the field, he carries himself well. The kids believe in him and trust in him, and that to me tells me all I need to know about whether he is able to lead them. And now we just got to pull some of that other out of him, and it'll come. He's just young.
And who's his opposite on the defensive side of the ball?
We're working on that. There's a handful of people over there. I mean, you know, normally you would say somebody in the linebacker core, but we actually have a sophomore on the defensive line. Like, I love all our positions on defense. I think we're going to fly around. We're going to, you know, we overran some stuff last night because we were so amped up to get there, and Heritage is a good team, so they're going to take advantage of that.
Sure.
But we got a kid up front who's a sophomore as well, Avery Kemp, and he's a defensive lineman. He's playing a little offensive line before us too. You know, he's at 6'2", 6'3", 240-pound sophomore. you know, that just has an engine that never stops. And but you've got Ryan over there, Moffitt's over there, is at playing safety or corner, wherever we need him. He's that athlete that can do that, and he's always verbal. You know, he's easy to pinpoint out as a leader on whichever side of the ball he's on. So I try to look at other people who people gravitate towards, and Avery's one that all the guys gravitate towards. You know, even the older guys, because he does. He is verbal. He is loud. He gets excited when things happen. To where as a quarterback, you don't really want him to go high low. You want to manage. So it's fun to watch the dichotomy of what happens on both sides of the ball, because as an offensive lineman versus a defensive lineman, he's two totally different people. Defensive lineman, he is loud. He's, you know, he's got that little bit, you know, is something loose in there,
right?
Kind of mentality.
Which you want. Yeah.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And on offensive side, he is cerebral and he's quiet and he just does what he's told to do. And for somebody to be able to flip that switch shows you what kind of football player they are and, you know, what kind of person they are. You know, coaches do it. We do it in business, you know, teaching, whatever. But people gravitate to, obviously, like I said, Ryan. But Avery's that – he's got that charisma. You know, people just – he's got a smile. He makes people laugh. He, you know – he just wants to do it right, and when he does, you know, he got a sack last night and got up and just gave that big, boisterous scream. And that's what we've talked to him about. The last few years, we've played within ourselves, but this year we're finally starting to see some energy and some attitude and some enthusiasm towards our own players. And a lot of that starts with the youth and energy that comes from that. You know, Ryan is that stable, set the course, this is what you're going to get from me. Avery is, you know what you're going to get, but it's going to be loud and it's going to be fun and it's going to be with attitude. And that's why I love this team so much, because there are the different personalities and they all just mesh so well.
What I found out is, like, if you can get a couple dudes on defense that are like that, and then it's like a competition between them, it's like the team is discount. Whoever you're playing, it doesn't matter. Like, one of us is going to get this tackle or we're going to get this sack, and this becomes a game. Dude, if you can get that rolling, I'm sorry for whoever's on the other side of that ball, because we have an objective and we're going to meet that.
That's exactly right.
And I want it more than that dude over there.
Well, that's exactly right. And you know, we've got a senior that's playing up front too who – has just worked his tail off for the last 4 years. You know, when he came in, he was a 175-pound linebacker, and now he's turned himself into a 230-pound stand-up end, or he can go down. I mean, and he can lift the school building.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you're talking about somebody that's pretty much gained 50-plus pounds in his 4 years here, he's taking it serious. You know, and Max last night showed us something that haven't seen from him. He dominated both sides of the ball with what he was doing. He was able to do things that you don't see a lot of teams do to Heritage's pullers and – you know, things like that. And if he can continue that, and like you said, when you've got him and Avery up front competing, okay, you got that one, I'm getting this one. Now up front, you become a different breed.
That's right, that's right.
You know, and then off of that, the back end goes, hey, we're going to get in on this too.
That's right.
You know, and that's what we've always had one or two guys who really – played really well the last few years as we've started building this thing. And now this year, we feel like one guy gets everybody else going, or two guys get, And it's a team thing now. It's not a, I'm going to go do this. It's a, I'm going to bring you along with me, and we're all going to go do this. And I feel like at any given point in time, it could be one, two, three, four, five people that can do that. And when you get to that, you feel like you're moving in the right direction in the program. We're not where we want to be yet. We're not strong enough. We're not fast enough. We're not consistent enough yet. But we are moving in that direction with this young group, and we've got good leaders to do it with.
So you guys are the smallest school in your conference, correct? Which I feel, coming from Owen, you know, I understand that mentality. How do you feel about the reclassification? Was it a waste of time? Do you agree with it?
I mean, be honest, we did look to, you know, try to get with people who were more our size.
Sure. And,
you know, it's – we want to do what's best for our kids, obviously. But now – we look at it and we go, it's what's in front of us. We're not worried about it anymore. We're going to go play week to week and just do what we do. I told somebody recently that all we've done with this 8 classification thing and realignment is we've turned it into what it was 15 years ago.
That's right. Unless you're Owen, you don't get to play a Buncombe County school, but you know.
Hey, we tried. John and I tried.
Yeah.
We tried to play each other again, but we, you know, with all the appeals and this and that, the timeline of scheduling this year was ridiculous.
Yeah, you guys had to hustle.
Yeah, it was just hard. But, I mean, hopefully we pick, you know, he and I know we want to pick each other back up as soon as we can.
Okay, we've been playing each other forever.
That's exactly right. And then, you know, we played each other the last 2 years.
Yep.
We were able to get each other back. And this year it was just one of those deals where we had both picked somebody up the week that we were both able to work it together. And we just couldn't get it put back together this year. But we've all both talked about wanting to get back together again after that. But, you know, early on when the realignment stuff came out, it was, you know, it was tough to look at and go, it would have been nice to be with some folks who were all our size, you know. But once everything kind of became finalized, we stopped thinking about it anyway, other sure. than
this is what we got to do.
This is what we got to do, and this yeah. is what we're going to do.
So, you know, for the last decade, it's been the big three. Reynolds, Asheville, TC. Sometimes Irwin sneaks in there like last year, you know. So maybe the big four, but it's really the big three. And you've been stuck with these guys this whole time. And, I mean, any possibility you guys are shaking that up this year?
I would like to think we can go out there week in and week out and compete with these guys. You know, it's
the same argument that those guys have against playing Charlotte teams, right? You're in the same boat. But just here in the mountains, right? You're playing a school with double, triple your numbers.
Well, I mean, if you look at us in TC and us in Asheville, you know, we're sitting there. It's going to show us with 950 kids or whatever, but in the building we've got 835.
Sure.
You know, and those are the things that when we look at stuff, and they count all these numbers from other places, we get probably 20 kids from combined from those places to play. But you got to count everybody.
That's right.
That's, you know, so.
Including numbers that got shipped out during the storm, right? Because Owen went from like 600 to like 500 after the storm.
Yeah.
But we're still on paper at 6.
Well, and that's us too. We lost close to 50
yeah.
during that time. And, you know, if we would have used the numbers
exactly, you dropped down.
We would have been a 4A
right.
if we'd have used those numbers. So, you know, and that was part of our, you know, when we appealed, you know, that was part of our appeal. And, you know, it's just, it is what it is.
Depending on where you come from, the appeals matter. And sometimes where you come from, they don't matter. But that's not you saying, that's me.
Yeah. But the way I look at it is, I've been around since. Right before they went to the split.
Yep, yep.
And I've been through the split. I've got saw it go away from the split, And basically, the 8A is nothing but the split again.
With the top.
That's exactly. 32.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, for us, it is tough. I mean, when you line up against TC in Asheville and they've got, you know, 1,600 kids and we've got 900 and whatever, that's tough. Because you look at the rule of 100. You get 10 athletes out of every 100 kids. Mm-hmm. So, in reality.
Well, 10 kids that show up.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, you get 10 kids that play out of that every 100, and when you're talking about somebody that's 600 more than you, you know, that's 60 more kids that they're going to have available.
For sure.
They may not be great players. They may not be. But
it's somebody.
It's somebody.
And even, like, further on down the line, because, you know, you guys are way up here and we're still down here. Dude, sometimes it's hard to get 22 kids on the field so you can see live action.
Well, and that's what I've lived the last few years is I looked at our kids the other day and I said, guys, I said, I want y'all to look at something. They're like, what, coach? I said, there's 11 white jerseys in the huddle. There's 11 white jerseys over there.
Yeah, dude.
And there's some white jerseys standing behind you. And they're like, oh, coach.
But dude, and those coaches at the Big Three, they don't ever see that, right? Like, they're never concerned about that. But all the other schools around here are like, hey, dude, we got 11 guys to go up against on defense this year. That's awesome, right?
And I know everybody has their up and down years. I mean, you can go through history and find, you know, Reynolds not being the Reynolds we know. You can go find TC being down a little bit. But with what those coaches, you know, the coaching staffs over the years have done, they've been able to build that. Everybody kind of starts out kind of where we are right now, you know. And, you know, you go back and North Buncombe, the last time I think they beat Reynolds was 1995. But since then, you know, when you go through the Bobby Pauls and the Shane Laws for, you know, 45 years, those are pretty two good head coaches.
Absolutely. I don't know if you've done the math yet, but I kind of been doing it. You're at 25 years, and we've talked to a lot of coaches around there. Most of the coaches are getting ready to hit their 30.
Yeah.
So there's a good chance for 2 or 3 years you're going to be the most senior coach in Buncombe County.
And that's crazy that this is year 4.
Right?
And, you know, because I know JD and I are close to about the same. Rodney's right around what I am. And, you know, obviously Shane's pushing the end, but it's just – it is interesting to think about that if people go when they can or go ahead and get out at a, you know, a reasonable age retirement to go somewhere else, that at 4 or 5 years in the county, I could have the most. It blows my mind. But that's the coaching profession nowadays. You know, yeah, Shane's been there for 30 years. That's not the norm anymore.
Sure, sure.
You know, and I mean, I plan on staying here all the way to the end and finishing out. You know, I'm not going anywhere. So by the time I leave here, I will have been here, you know, 10 plus. And, you know, when you look at the history at North Buncombe, I think the longest was like in the last 25 years was 7 years. 6-7 years. So being in that position for that long, you do put it in a little bit of perspective when, you know, heck, all but one of the Buncombe County schools, we could all go out within 5 years of each other.
That's exactly right. You talking about changing the landscape of football around here, like – we're on the cusp of seeing maybe some big names go down, maybe some small names come up. It could happen.
I mean, it's
at Owen, you know, we had Ford forever.
Yep.
And then there's been a carousel of coaches since then. And
you got a good one there now.
I definitely agree with you on that, and the kids think that too. But longevity is the secret to success, kind of around here. It seems like
any consistency,
right? So you're not changing like my poor. My son that graduated last year, he had 3 head coaches, COVID and the flood, and like there was no baseline of it's going to be the same every year. a report coming out of your neighborhood this year. Reynolds Middle, for the first time in forever, is going to be running a wing tee. Do you know that?
I had no idea.
They've run the spread forever. Well, that coach at the middle school is going to run a wing tee this year. Craziness.
Wow.
And Laws is allowing it to happen. Like, these are the small changes you start seeing when a coach is fading out. Like, before, I don't think that would be allowed, you know?
Well, I mean,
because you got to run our system.
Well, I mean, it's so interesting nowadays, because you can go anywhere around the state and you can start seeing those small changes and things. And I think about how many coaches in the state are around my age that we've all kind of come through together. And a lot of us are head coaches at places right now. So I'm sitting here going, we don't, there's going to be a mass group of openings over the next 5 to 7 years.
For sure.
And, you know, one of the hardest things up here that I think all of us are finding out is cost of living is so high.
Oh, yeah.
Bringing people in as an assistant to maybe groom to be a head coach. That's tough right now in all of our schools.
Well, when you talked about you have your 11 dudes now, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure all of them are on 12-month contracts. And you got plenty of stopping money, right?
Oh, of course.
And everyone's living at the lake with Pat in his mansion, right?
Agony.
No, that's not how it works, dude.
No.
Sometimes you got two or three of these dudes sharing an apartment.
Oh, yeah. It's so, you know, the good piece of it is that my lay coaches, the ones that come in from off staff, you know, they all live in the area. They all do that.
And they've been here for a while.
Yeah. But if I'm looking for a history teacher to come in, and he's a really good coach, but he's coming from somewhere else, teaching salary-wise, everybody is pretty consistent, and Buncombe County does a good job with their teaching supplement. It's a good piece. But, you know, when you look at where Buncombe County is and then you piece together how much it costs to buy a piece of property or a house or rent an apartment or whatever, it's 30 minutes to Irwin, Tennessee.
That's right.
45 minutes to the South Carolina line. You know, people are willing to drive an hour now to work, and they used to not be able to want to do that. But when I can make $25,000 more just teaching and then add in the extra for coaching, that becomes a big pull. And that's in all of North Carolina, but Buncombe County especially, just with the cost of living, you know, nothing else. Great place to live.
Beautiful.
Great place to teach. Yeah. Beautiful. Good kids. But it's just hard to, you know, affordable housing for young families and coaches. That's just tough.
Well, I mean, what we're going through this at work too, you know, but, and obviously, you know, I like our salaries a little bit more than the teachers and all that, but
right.
Even still, like a 1500 square foot house here that's run down is $350,000. You go to Raleigh, you can get a brand new build on a $2,500 square foot house for the same price.
Yep.
Like, come on, dude. That's our capital. This is Asheville, bro.
Yeah, and I've seen that. So, we've all of us coaches have gotten together and we've talked about it, where that is a little bit of a fear that a lot of us have. You know, Shane and the crew over at Reynolds, what they've built up, you know, they worry about what it's going to turn into if they can't find the right person.
There's been a lot of speculation in the county about that, but I'm not, you know, we're not going to dig
right,
into that.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of people are waiting to see what that does transform into.
Well, I think it's going to get interesting everywhere because, I mean, look at what Rodney's built over at Irwin, and, you know, he's in his last 4 or 5 years, and, you know, everybody knows what Mike Sexton's done.
Oh yeah.
You know, throughout his career, and, you know, he's turned Inca back into a young, dominant, you know, young team who is sitting right there on the precipice. They could take the next step and be good every year, year in and year out again. And, you know, we know what John's doing over there and what I'm trying to do here. We're all trying to get to the same place. But when you look at we're not all spry young chickens anymore.
I mean, really, like if you're in John's position or Court's or that new ACA coach, like, dude, you're kind of being handed the breadbasket, right? Like, you could almost compete and get a job wherever you wanted to.
It's going to be an interesting place here by 2030. I think you'll see some changes in some things, but I'm interested to see which way it goes just because I love to watch the coaching game. I love to watch what other teams do, you know, because I learn from that, you know.
Sure.
You know, since I got here, I've reached out, hey, JD, what do you do? How do you do this? How do you deal with this? Because coming back to the mountains, you know, I was up here at Cherokee for a couple seasons, but when we came back, you know, things are just different in the Asheville area with the way the Buncombe County school systems are. And so I've talked to Shane about how they do things. I've talked to Cord about how they do things. I mean, Friday nights and the weeks we play each other, yes, we are as cold and don't talk to each other as we can. And then, but outside of that, we're all a member of a fraternity that not a lot of people become members of.
Indeed.
To me, there are times where we don't see eye to eye on things, but at the same time, we have same goals in mind, and that's to put kids in the community that can be good husbands, fathers, people. And I want to, if somebody's doing it really well, I want to be able to learn from that.
For sure.
Well, let's bridge here a little bit over to the upcoming season year. You've got a very interesting schedule. I kind of want to break this thing down a little bit with your non-conference first. We'll get into conference later because that's a story in itself. You've got Cherokee, Rosman, Madison, Brevard, and McDowell, who's a non-conference game this year.
Yeah.
That's the lineup in order. So paint this picture. What does the non-conference look like in your mind for you?
Well, I mean, you've got multiple teams with new coaches. So you don't know really what you're going to get out of those because teams like to show up for new coaches. You know, it's just the way things are. So, you know, when you're looking at Cherokee, you know, with an old North Buncombe coach over there, Curtis Cagle's running the show. And then, you know, Madison, you got Coach Tipton, who's had a very successful baseball run over there. He's been a part of the football staff over there for a long time. He's heading up that now. And then when you get down to McDowell, you know, Darryl's doing, you know, stepped in over there this year, coming from a program like Asheville that's been really productive. And so when you look at these three, you know, they're shiny and new. In that, where new kids, you know, you get new gear when you get new coaches, you get these things. So there's a lot of unknown in some of these. Like, I can't tell you right now what McDowell will be doing this year. I mean, obviously, you saw him last night, but until I get some film on him. But I know what his reputation is, where he's been before as a coach. Pretty tough-nosed, pretty hard. You know, hard-nosed, going to have his kids ready to play. So we take nothing for granted in our non-conference. I mean, when you've got Brevard there, who probably outside of, you know, the Reynoldses, they've been one of the best teams I've had in front of me.
Yeah, they're like the silent hero that no one pays attention to around here, you know?
I mean,
they've been consistent.
Luke has done a well of a job over there, and it's just consistent right now with what he's doing and what he's got going on. That is you know, you want to have a mix of games that you feel like you're going to compete really well in non-conference to help give your kids some opportunities and some games that are going to challenge you as well. And I feel like we've set our schedule up. You know, going to Cherokee, it's always the awe factor of stepping on to Ray Kinsland in Ray Kinsland Stadium, and you're in what looks like a college atmosphere.
Yeah, they got the money for it for sure.
You know, and I love those folks.
How about that coach's office up there?
Oh, one of those used to be mine.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what that's what I'm saying is there's just, you know, the way the weight room looks out over the field.
And, yep.
You know, the stadium bleeds into the gym area, you know, the elevator up to the top of the press box to look out over the mountains to watch the sunset. I mean, there's just so many awe-inspiring things about that that you have to remember. You got to play a football game. You know, you may drive on the campus and there's five elk standing there waiting on you.
For sure.
You know, I mean, and those are the things that we would hear people talk about when they would come play when I was coaching there. And, you know, that's not an easy place to go play.
And pretty much the community comes out.
That's exactly right. It's going to be full.
There's not much going on in Big Cove.
It's going to be full every football game, whether they're having an undefeated season or whether it's a tough go. They're going to come support their kids.
And basketball is even worse. Dude, they pack that place full.
Yes. I mean, that's just – they are a very proud people and – really something to aspire to be like. You want your community to be the same. You want a pack of stands on
for sure
Friday night in football and Tuesday and Friday in basketball and whatever.
It's almost like mid-90s in Buncombe County, right? Because back then everybody came.
Yep, right? That's exactly right.
Yeah.
You know, and then when you look at the teams like, you know, Rosman, young coach, building things up over there.
Tough job.
I mean, and he is a great, great guy. Like, I've got to talk to him a few times, and, you know, when we put this game together, he was just, you know, very humble about, hey, thank you, you know, we appreciate you wanting to, you know, host us, and he is doing a really good job mentoring and building those kids. His numbers are up, you know, so where you would like to come out of those five games winning the majority of them, obviously.
Sure.
If you're us. And, you know, heading into conference play.
So you're going to be 5-0 going into conference? That's what I heard. I don't know.
Look, that's the goal.
That would be the goal. You know, you want to go 1-0 every week, you know, but the goal is that we want to go out and compete every week and lay it all out on the line and let the chips fall where they fall after we've competed to the best of our ability that week. You know, if we can come out of that with a lot of success, we feel very comfortable heading into the early part of the conference season and hoping to get some confidence as we head into a tough conference. I mean, Inca's going to be good this year. We really feel like that after, you know, watching them grow the last 2 years like we have. You know, and then TC, JD's just got them rolling every year now, you know. And then, of course, you get to our last three, and you got Reynolds, Asheville, Irwin. And, I mean, it's just we have to prepare ourselves in our non-conference for our conference. And, you know, we feel like we've done that with, you know, a Brevard and a McDowell, a bigger team. You know, just throw a 7-A team on the schedule, you know, new coach or not, they're going to provide a stiff challenge, and that's what we want.
It does. It really does look like a slow boil all the way to the top, the way you've laid this out. I mean, to your point, yeah, 5-0 would be the goal in your non-conference.
That'd
but even if, you don't come out 5-0, you get a few wins in there, you come out, you've got a little bit of momentum behind you, and then you've got Inca. And then you run the gauntlet. I mean, it's like you just painted the picture. You're gonna have Inca. They're gonna be an up and coming team. You're gonna have your hands full there for sure. Then you're into TC. Then you got Reynolds. Asheville's gonna be tough from what I've heard this year. And then you got the MAC champion from last year to close it out.
Well, I mean,
you are really. Yeah. I mean, you are taking off on that curve.
I mean, I think you look at. I would take the toughness in our conference against most conference in Western North Carolina. I mean, just, you know, everybody would look at it as, oh, y'all are just top heavy. Well, even our bottom teams, it was 7-0 against Reynolds last year heading into the middle of the second quarter for us. And that was pre-Helene. You know, they pulled away and they won. But that was the first sign to me that our program was moving in the right direction. I mean, we went out and we didn't just lay down in front of a team that had been, quote-unquote, the top of the league for years and years and years. And if we can go out and compete against teams for four quarters, that shows growth in what we're doing. And like you said, you know, there's not going to be an easy game in our conference. And I don't feel like that even all these other coaches feel that way either, that they're going to get knocked in the mouth night in, night out. I mean, I was standing around talking to some of the Heritage players afterwards last night, just talking, and they're like, yeah, that was just good Mountain football tonight. That, and, you know, it was just physical. It was enthusiastic. It was, and that's what we see in this conference week in and week out. And you've got to bring your best every week to compete with anybody in the conference. That's what we want to make our kids feel like.
Sure.
And there is a different feeling this year. I'm not saying we're going to go out and we're going to beat all of them, but that's the goal.
Sure.
You know, there are no absolutes in the game of football because of injuries and weather and other factors. And that's what I try to tell our guys, and our coaches preach that, you know, we've all seen all the movies, you know, Facing the Giants and all these movies, Remember the Titans, where you weren't supposed to go out and be and win, but you did because of what you did to prepare yourself for that. And where we know we're going to be underdogs against a lot of teams on our schedule, well, we relish that, and we want to go out and we want to just compete with those guys this year.
Well, and I think this has come up a few times with other coaches too. We've talked about the conference and structure and everything. Your point about this year being a little different is real. I mean, you're obviously going to have your hands full with Reynolds and with TC and Asheville. They're going to be tough. But those teams have challenges this year too. I mean, it's nothing's. I don't think anything's locked in stone. And I think one of the cool things about that is that it's going to be exciting football in the MAC this year for sure. It's not going to be.
There's going to be a lot of talking points for sure.
Yeah, I think right. There's going to be an opportunity to see some really good football out.
A lot of those big programs where there are several struggles this year. Everybody's just waiting for that one game where you see that struggle. You're like, see, I told you, right? So it's a tough position.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the good thing about this conference is a lot of good head coaches.
Yeah.
And a lot of good coaching staffs. So where Irwin knows what they lost last year and what they've got to build back this year. You know, we know what we've lost and know how we've got to overcome, you know, Reynolds and TC and so on and so on. We've all got that. So now it's going to be about coaching the kids up and getting kids ready. And, you know, we're not where we want to be yet. And I said that earlier. And I would
I don't think any team is.
And I was going to say, I'd probably bet 100% out of 100% would say we're not where we want to be. We're not practicing how we want to do. We're not playing. Oh, we didn't scrimmage well enough last night. But I've said since I got here, this conference, and I've been in a lot of conferences around the state, you know, when I was in at Southeast Guilford, we had Dudley and Page.
Yeah.
You know.
Pretty tough draw. Yeah.
You know, and, you know, we snuck up and we got Page a couple years in a row. And, you know, Dudley, we would be right with them and they'd pull away. And, you know, now up here, you know, you've got Asheville, Reynolds, and TC, who have been recent, and then Irwin jumped in this past year, and Inca's had their years, and North Buncombe had their years, and Owens had their years, and Asheville, you know, the consistency factor for a lot of schools is where you lose the standing.
Sure.
And, you know, whether you like them or don't like them, you respect the heck out of them for what they've been able to do over a long period of time. And those are the teams that you want your team to be in games with them and be able to beat them and be able to get to the stature that they're at. And that's what we're hoping to do here.
Yeah, and, you know, these teams, you would do as well, as you just mentioned, having to figure out what you lost and what you got to put back in. You talked about a little bit at the beginning of the podcast, which was the kids that in the off season that may have – you know, may not have really been on your radar, but then they got in the weight room and they put on the 40, 50 pounds. They could pick up the school now. And you're like, tag on. We got a dude over here. How many of these kinds of kids are showing up for these various programs, and how do you identify that? And then I would see the rewarding side in your job of that, and any coach's job would be able to see that happen, that kind of progression, that blossoming happen. So it's got to be exciting.
Yeah, you go in every year that you have your known commodities or that you expect to be a known, and somebody always surprises you, which is always a good thing. And the team that has more surprises usually has a pretty productive season.
Yeah, that's a competitive advantage for sure.
Or, you know, there's the flip side. You just go get everybody's surprises. You know, whatever.
So you got this you got the split conference, which I guess could potentially be of benefit when you've got TC, Reynolds, and Asheville in that higher tier.
Right.
Now, remind me, Irwin is in the top tier, or they're with you and Inca?
They're with us. You know, Inca's actually, number-wise, the biggest of the three of us.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
I didn't know that. Really?
Yeah. Wow. Underachievement, that's what they call that.
Well, that's interesting that the enrollment was that played out like that.
Yeah,
well,
it was interesting when the numbers come out. And I really think that with the three of us, you know, with the landscape of high school football now, you know, less kids over the last 10 or 15 years have played. And now we're all starting to see a little bit of an uptick, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, some teams who have had some struggles are finding some pieces that they didn't have. But, yeah, so with the split, you know, a few years ago it was the same split basically with McDowell. So they had four teams in the bigger tier, and it was the three of us in the bottom when I got here. And you were basically, yeah, you played the others, but you're like, okay, we've got to really win two ball games. And now, mentality-wise, that's not what you teach your kids, and that's not what you talk with your coaches. But in the back of your mind, you know, what I do against, you know, Reynolds ultimately may help me number-wise, RPI-wise, win or lose. But when it comes time to put people in playoffs, you know, they're in a completely different purview, and then it's what did we do against the other two? Am I in front of or am I behind? And with the new playoff format, 48 out of the 58 or 59 teams are going to get in 5A, you know.
Without an automatic bid.
Without an automatic bid.
Which is going to be great, I think.
Yeah.
It's going to be different, but you give your kids a chance to maybe do something they haven't been able to do in a long time, which is play a playoff game.
And you just alluded to it. I mean, you're going to be playing the TC, the Reynolds, the Asheville. Obviously, if you manage to pick off a win,
absolutely,
power to you. But even win or lose, that helps your RPI regardless of the situation, which is, I think, a good change this year that we've seen from the prior years because – you know, you're gonna actually see some good matchups, I think, in the playoffs.
Well, an interesting thing we did, well, Mike and I did, we went back to last year's 4A playoffs. The landscape looks totally different if you factor in the new conferences or like the new 8A thing.
Yeah,
most of those guys aren't competing in the same divisions anymore. Like the powerhouses towards the end, all of them have moved up 6-7.
Yep.
So
it's going to be interesting.
Like the state championship last year, completely different. If we're going this year's rules.
Well, and that's kind of what we all talked about when we first saw how they were going to do it. And, you know, does it matter who you play? Does it matter where you play? Does it matter who they play? And with the new model, nobody knows yet.
Right.
You know, so the big push against this was, well, heck, feasibly somebody could win the conference and not make the playoffs. That was the feasibility.
That's possible.
And it is.
Yeah.
And that was the big push in the negative for it. And you could finish last in your conference and make the playoffs because of the schedule you play.
If you're a Charlotte team.
Pretty much. Yeah. But I do like the fact that they put a little more on who you play and your record and your opponent versus the opponent's opponent.
Yeah, that percentage went down.
Yeah.
By about 10%.
Yeah, because that stuff you can't control. I can't control who that team plays.
Correct.
You know, and here I'm rolling through a Brevard and, you know, TC, mm-hmm. Asheville, Reynolds, Irwin, you know, and even Inca's RPI is way up every year, you know, when we look at it at the end. And it's going to be interesting. I'm interested to see how it plays out at the end of the year, because you're going to have some teams that have been playoff teams that may not get in now because of this, that, or the other. And you've had some teams who are not playoff teams recently that the new format may actually help bump them into playoffs. And I'm excited. You know, I feel real comfortable that, you know, we're going to compete and give ourselves a chance this year. You know, I know our kids would love to have that opportunity, but, you know, again, football, nothing's given.
That's true. I think one thing you're going to see from the new format, a lot better first-round games.
That's what they tell us the reason is for this system, is more first-round games that are higher competitiveness.
Yeah, more competitive games. Like, I mean, last year, a first-round game, it was 60-0, if you look at the scores, right? Pretty much.
Pretty much all around, yeah.
Which, you know, still possibly can happen, 116.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
But if
the 16 is deserving of being there, not just an automatic bid, like, you're going to see a better game.
Well, and that's what I think, when you look at it now, you've got that chance to happen. And I was a part of a 116 win back in a long time ago when I was at Northern Vance as an assistant. We beat Southern Guilford, who was the one. And, you know, our kids still, I get messages on Facebook from, hey, coach, look, this came up in my memories today. Look at this article. And, you know, and it would be lovely to see that happen to some more, just for kids around the state that may have never had that opportunity but now do.
Sure.
So.
But, you know, I see what, like last year, you know, Madison beat us the last game. They're the ones, because it was just us and them in the conference.
Right.
They get the bid. They don't go. The next team that gets the bid's like, no, thank you. It was kind of getting a little ridiculous,
mm-hmm.
you know, the automatic bid thing. But
I'm all about the, you know, let's just go play ball and
for sure.
Let's see where you fall. I mean, it's. Yeah. You know, you got 48 chances to get in.
Indeed. And it's all going to get started here. It looks like it's 7:30 at Cherokee on August 22nd for you guys. So. Yeah,
we're excited. I mean, you know, we got one more scrimmage next week against Tuscola. And, you know, we've been scrimmaging them since I got here. Every year we've scrimmaged them. And, you know, Jonathan, he's done a real good job over there. They're going to be really good this year. So it'll be a second really good scrimmage for us to see a team that's completely different than Mountain Heritage.
Oh, for sure.
You know, we're going to go from everything's in a box to sideline to sideline. So it helps us prepare for the Irwins later in the year. You know, it helps us prepare for some of the teams in our non-conference schedule with Heritage last night. And that, to me, is what I've tried to do with our two scrimmages, is see things that we'll see again later, you know, and so our kids don't see something for the first time when they line up against it.
Indeed.
For sure.
Well, Coach, other than that, I mean, well, that's about all we got for you. Is there anything we didn't talk about that you want to put out there on the table or get out there?
Not that I can think of. I mean, other than just enjoy your cruise, man.
Hey, yeah.
I'm jealous.
Yeah, just got that book the other day. Going to take the family to Bermuda, hopefully drag Louie and some other folks along with us if we can. Then we'll take over the whole boat. That'll be exciting. Maybe we'll do a podcast out there in the middle of the Atlantic. Who knows?
That'll be fun. That'll be fun.
Good times.
Well, we appreciate what you guys do for, you know, high school sports around here, man. That's something that, you know, with the Wise guys and Charlie, you know, I talk to him every Saturday morning too. And, you know, we need more people to really shine a light on what these kids do around here and what coaches do around here. And, you know, we all love the kids and the communities. You know, I know we're not always right on Friday nights. I get it, you know, but we appreciate what you guys do for us and shining light on all of us around here.
Well, unfortunately, the coverage for sports in the mountains ain't really good. So we're not always highlighted by everybody. So, I mean, that's kind of why we started this thing.
Yeah. Fun. Yeah. We like high school football. It's exciting. Yeah.
And we appreciate it. You know, that's, you know, anytime I can get, you know, my kids out in front of people, that's always a good thing.
Absolutely.
Well, Coach Hans, thanks. We look forward to seeing what you guys do this season, and thanks for joining us. Until next time, we've got another one coming up here soon, don't we?
Kenny Ford.
Kenny Ford's next. Oh, man. All right.
Fun time.
Absolutely.
So until then, and we'll be back again soon. Yeah, thanks for listening.
Good luck, Coach.
Thank you, guys.